Good afternoon, 4:30 and 84 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
I've gotten to be friends with a lot of these cyclists. And one of them, he tells you all the time, he says, you know, cycling's a new golf. He said, I'm 50-some years old, and I cycle now more than I go play golf.
Raceland Police Chief Don Salmon says Kentucky communities that don't embrace bicycling are hurting themselves. He'll tell us why.
Governor Bevin hires an Indiana firm to investigate former Governor Steve Beshear.
And an Ashland man is sentenced to 10 years in prison.
In sports, the Reds take the field tonight for the first time in 9 years without Jay Bruce.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Cloudy tonight with valley fog and lows in the upper 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Kentucky Republican Governor Matt Bevin has approved a contract of up to $500,000 to an Indiana law firm to investigate his Democratic predecessor's administration. According to media reports, the firm will investigate possible violations of state spending rules and possible coercion of state workers for campaign donations. Last spring, Bevin announced that his finance and administration cabinet would oversee a probe of what he called a pay-to-play method of conducting business during Beshear's administration.
Republican Governor Matt Bevin's proposed changes to the state's Medicaid program would end routine dental and vision coverage for able-bodied adults in a state where more than half of the population over 18 had a tooth extracted because of decay or gum disease. Bevin administration officials say the changes will only apply to able-bodied adults. Dental and vision benefits for children, pregnant women, medically frail adults, and adults who qualify for the traditional Medicaid program will not change. But dentists and health advocates worry the changes will discourage people from getting the type of care that can prevent more painful and expensive health problems.
Kentucky's efforts to bring broadband service to all 120 counties are not going as quickly as expected. The director of the Kentucky Communications Network Authority told a legislative panel in Frankfort Monday that's because of negotiations with AT&T and Windstream over access to utility poles. Chris Moore says that access is needed to build the so-called Kentucky Wired project. Moore says the delays have probably pushed back completion of the first phase of the initiative into 2019. Even so, he says, the authority has signed a letter of intent with the East Kentucky Network Group to extend fiber optic lines into more than 20 counties in the SOAR area. Moore says other agreements are in place as well.
We've awarded contracts for community broadband planning and training to support community fiber planning in East Kentucky. We are also planning to expand community-based internet access centers and provide workforce training in 12 distressed East Kentucky counties to improve economic prospects and private investment in the region.
The first phase of the Kentucky Wired project was initially projected to be finished in 2018. It involves northern and southeastern Kentucky, Frankfort, and Louisville.
Coal jobs continue to decrease rapidly in eastern Kentucky. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
The Lexington Herald Leader quotes a report from the State Energy and Environment Cabinet that says coal jobs in the region dropped by 6.9% in the second quarter of 2016. The estimated number of workers in the industry was 6,465 as of July 1st. That's the lowest number since 1898. Analysts blame the decline on many factors, including competition from cheap natural gas, strict federal environment rules, and the growth of renewable energy sources. Eastern Kentucky's coal industry also has to deal with the challenge of paying higher costs to mine what's left of the seams that have nearly been emptied. The paper quotes State Coal Association spokesman Bill Bissett as saying the downward trend will continue as long as the federal government continues to fight against the building of new coal-fired power plants. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
A new steel product that'll be made by AK Steel this quarter will last longer and help cars get better gas mileage. That's what the company's chief operating officer says about the so-called next-gen steel that AK will manufacture initially at its Dearborn, Michigan works. Kirk Reich says it's the next step in the firm's development of advanced high-strength products.
The overall thing that's important to remember from an AK Steel perspective is it's not just about lightweighting. It's about overall CAFE standards, which is what the auto companies are trying to accomplish.
Reich says samples of the new steel will be available early next year. AK Steel is based in Ohio and has a coating line in Ashland that employs about 200 people.
Ashland Incorporated needs to sell more of the new products it's introducing. That's what the chairman of the Kentucky-based specialty chemicals firm is saying about its efforts in the next quarter. Bill Wolfson says Ashland is developing innovative quality products and must get them into the marketplace more quickly. He says the company has created a new position to spearhead that effort.
That's a core reason for establishing the chief technology officer role, and we are bringing that individual together with our commercial team to really talk about how we can accelerate the pipeline or the impact, because as a specialty chemical company, we need to see our sales of new products be in excess of 25% of our sales, and we are below that today.
Wolfson says Ashland has done well to build a dependable supply chain and now needs to devote more of its energy to marketing its new products. The company is headquartered in Covington and has operations in Russell and Lexington.
A Pike County man has been fatally shot by Kentucky State Police after allegedly threatening a trooper. Will Clark reports.
It happened in the Phelps community of Pike County when 32-year-old John Casey and 40-year-old Lacey Wolford ran from state troopers investigating an assault claim. The KSP says once troopers caught up with the pair, Casey made threats towards the trooper and threw a rock that hit him in the face. The KSP says Casey then pulled a silver object from his pocket, and that's when the trooper fatally shot him. That object was later found to have been a beer can. Wolford was arrested a short time later. I'm Will Clark.
A 47-year-old Ashland man has been sentenced to 10 years in prison following his conviction on two counts of drug trafficking in Lawrence County, Ohio. The Ironton Tribune reports that John Wright was sentenced in Lawrence County Common Pleas Court. Wright was arrested last fall after undercover agents from the county's Major Crimes Task Force purchased oxycodone pills from him. They also confiscated more than $4,400.
Morehead area banks and law enforcement agencies are warning of skimming devices in the region intended to steal information from debit cards when used at a gas station. Master Trooper Joe Veneman says Kentucky State Police were unable to recover a skimming device that was recently installed at the Cave Run Lake Mart BP on Kentucky 801. While authorities monitor possible fraud activity, he advises against paying at the pump.
My advice would be, with everything that's going on right now, is, you know, painstaking as it can be, to actually go and pay inside. Now, obviously, it's a matter of convenience being able to pay at the pump, but with the way things are going now, it's probably your safest bet would be going to pay inside.
Veneman says skimming devices can be used to make counterfeit debit cards.
After it gets back the surveys recently sent out to area residents, the Morehead-Rowan County Recreation Committee will plot a course of action for its next major task. According to committee member City Parks and Recreation Director David Morris, that's finding the money to fund the things that Rowan Countyans have said in the questionnaire that they need and want in terms of local recreational programs and facilities.
We need to probably do a better job at educating the community as to how we can possibly pay for such facilities or programs, and that's going to be a big task that we try to break it down to where, you know, everybody can relate to what we're trying to get done.
Morris has said in the past that Rowan Countyans may have to agree to a fee or tax hike to fund new recreation facilities. The surveys, which went out last month, must be returned on Friday. The committee plans to discuss their results this fall.
Raceland's police chief says bicycle-friendly communities promote quality of life and help their local businesses. Don Salmon says his Greenup County town recently took several steps to encourage bicycle groups to ride there, and it's paying off. He says bicycle routes were developed, a butterfly garden was created along the way, and footprints were placed on sidewalks to encourage riders to visit historical sites. As a result, he says, small businesses like an ice cream shop, a store that sells T-shirts and hats, and a miniature golf course opened.
If you go to other areas that are growing and prospering and stuff, you will see bicycle lanes. You will see bicycle rest areas. You'll see all this stuff designed for cyclists because with the quality of life down, that's what a lot of people want. They want places where they feel safe, where they can go out and ride for the exercise.
Unfortunately, says Sammons, Kentucky ranks near the bottom as a bicycle-friendly state. He says that could change if more communities embraced the activity and promoted safety. Chief Sammons testified this afternoon before the Kentucky Legislature's Interim Joint Committee on Transportation.
Two of Kentucky's 22 highway rest areas are closed, and a couple more need major repairs. That's what the Director of Maintenance for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet told House and Senate members of the General Assembly's Transportation Committee this afternoon. John Wilcoxon says just over $9 million of his $350 million budget is set aside for upkeep of those rest areas and 14 truck weigh stations. He says the closed rest areas are in Montgomery and Hart counties, and one near Moorhead is in poor condition.
We have some that are in desperate need of improvement, particularly, West 23, I know we have one. I think there's another maybe in Rowan County that need improvements.
Wilcoxon says the Montgomery County rest area has been closed for several years due to costly sewer problems.
The major highway construction project in Scioto County is nearly halfway complete and running ahead of schedule. Ohio Department of Transportation spokeswoman Kathleen Fuller says a mild winter helped workers get a good start on the Southern Ohio Veterans Memorial Highway, which began construction last year. The work is being done by Portsmouth Gateway Group, whose 400-member crew is working 18 to 20-hour days to meet the December 2018 deadline.
Construction is going really well. Our contractors and crews are working in all segments of the project, so they're working throughout the entire corridor right now. And everything from moving earth to bridge work is underway. So we have MSE wall construction. We have beams that are going in right now for bridges and for the interchanges that are being constructed. So there's a lot of activity throughout the entire corridor.
Fuller says an open house will be held tomorrow to discuss progress on the $429 million project with members of the public. The session takes place from 4 to 6 p.m. at the project field office on Lucasville-Minford Road.
The new police chief of Moorhead is on the job. Derek Blevins took over the chief's post from David Sexton, who retired at the end of July. Blevins has been with the Moorhead PD for 12 years, including the last 12 years as captain. He understands that he'll have to handle more administrative duties as the department's top official, but says he's already had a taste of that.
As Chief Sexton's assistant, Chief, I've done a lot of administrative stuff also, and he done a lot to try to prepare me, threw a lot on me, try to prepare me for this office. So it's not going to be a big change, maybe a little more stress. I don't have nobody else to blame anything on now since I'm at the top,
Blevins says he's spending much of this week dealing with personnel matters, including giving his approval to the promotion of Sergeant Kyle Callahan as the department's new captain and assistant chief.
And finally this afternoon, U.S. Senator Rand Paul is taking issue with a story in the Lexington Herald Leader that says his failed presidential campaign has piled up debts that he is unable to pay off. The Kentucky Republican says it's not so. He says the campaign has more cash on hand than bills. Paul also claims the paper should not be complaining about his debts when it has plenty of its own.
I don't know if it's any coincidence, but this was the last paper printed in Lexington. They no longer have the money to even print their own newspaper. It's a failing business.
Paul says 97% of his presidential campaign's expenses have been paid.
Turning now to look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, partly cloudy skies and areas of valley fog will see lows around 68 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny during the day with areas of valley fog early on, a 30% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms with highs around 88. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, a 20% chance of rain with lows again in the upper 60s. On Thursday, partly sunny, a 30% chance of rain, highs in the upper 80s. That night, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of rain and lows around 70. And on Friday, at the end of our week, it'll be mostly sunny, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, with highs around 90 degrees. It's currently sitting at 85 degrees in Ashland and in Flemingsburg right now. It's 82 right now in Inez, 86 in Lexington, 87 in Winchester, and 84 degrees here in Moorhead.
It is 4:45. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, Kentucky lost 5 law enforcement officers in the line of duty last year, but none in the first 6 months of this year. However, the Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre reports that these encouraging numbers do not reflect the national death toll.
The recent ambush attack that killed 5 Dallas police officers contributed to a spike in deaths of those across the country sworn to serve and protect their communities. A biannual review from the National Law Enforcement Memorial Fund shows through July 20th, 67 federal, state, and local officers had died on the job, an 8% increase from the same time period in 2015. The increase comes against a backdrop of high tension in some cities after high-profile police-involved shootings. Craig Floyd with the Memorial Fund says people need to work with law enforcement to build safer communities.
Law enforcement is clearly focused on the top priority, which is where trust has been lost, to restore that trust, to strengthen the partnership between law enforcement and the citizens they serve.
Despite the rise in deaths in the first half of the year, the report says police fatalities have steadily declined in the U.S. in the past 4 decades. No officers have died on the job in Kentucky this year, but 5 died last year, 2 by gunfire, 2 in auto accidents, and 1 suffered a heart attack. The Memorial Fund is building the National Law Enforcement Museum in Washington, D.C. Floyd believes once it's open in 2018, it will help bridge the gap by hosting conversations between police and community leaders.
Together with these discussions that will occur there, with the learning that will occur in that museum, we'll do better as a profession, working with the community to keep America safe.
Nationally, the report says 14 of the officers fatally shot were victims of ambush-style attacks. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
It is 4:48. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Sean has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowland County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and near the Moorhead City Park. The Rowland County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud with homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. More information at 784-5457. The Rowland County Farmers Market is a certified Kentucky Proud Market.
Bye-bye to Bruce. Good afternoon. This is MSPR's Sports Report. I'm Sean Delaney. The Cincinnati Reds open a series with St. Louis tonight at 7:10 at Great American Ballpark. It will be the Reds' first game in 9 years without right fielder Jay Bruce on their roster. The All-Star was traded Monday to the Mets for 2 prospects, infielder Dilson Herrera and pitcher Max Wodell. MLB Network reporter Jonathan Mayo says the 22-year-old Herrera is talented and appears to be a major league-ready hitter.
Added some power this year. It remains to be seen how much of that was because he was playing his home games in Las Vegas. But it's interesting to note that he's a double-digit homers and still extremely young. So you can sort of look at him as a prospect. Obviously, Cincinnati's got to figure out what they're doing with their second base situation, just like they did a year ago when they obtained Jose Peraza. And it's a question that's still unanswered.
As for Wodell, Mayo says the 19-year-old lefty appears to be more of a long-range project with an average fastball that should improve as he gets older and stronger. Scott Schebler has been called up from AAA to fill in for Bruce. He will play left field tonight. Among yesterday's other big league deals, Texas acquired veteran slugger Carlos Beltran from the Yankees and catcher Jonathan Lucroy from the Brewers. Pittsburgh sent lefty Francisco Liriano to Toronto in return for fellow hurler Drew Hutchinson. The Dodgers snared outfielder Josh Reddick and southpaw Rich Hill from Oakland for some prospects. San Francisco acquired starting pitcher Matt Moore from Tampa Bay in exchange for third baseman Matt Duffy and some minor leaguers. And the Marlins traded hurler Colin Ray up back to San Diego just days after he sprained an elbow ligament in his first start for Miami. Adding four pitchers as part of his team's seven new recruits was key for the Eagles, so says Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire. McGuire says MSU always needs to have good depth in its pitching staff.
I think especially at Morehead State it's important. I mean, you know, let's talk about our ballpark. It is what it is. You've got to have more arms. You know, pitch counts get higher at our park. You got to have more depth on the mound, and that needs to be a strength of our club and something we've really tried really hard to address.
The Eagles play their home games at hitter-friendly Allen Field. MSU lost three senior pitchers to graduation and a junior to the Major League Draft. As for some key losses at wide receiver, the Cincinnati Bengals are reloading their offensive lineup during training camp. Even though veterans Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones left the team for free agency during the offseason, quarterback Andy Dalton expects the Bengals' attack to remain one of the most potent in the NFL.
We've got some young guys that are going to be learning, and but we feel like they've got talent, and so I think that's why they're here. Obviously, we had Marvin and Mo, guys that have been in the offense for a while, and they're not here anymore, but I mean, to bring in a guy like Brandon LaFell to help with that and to have some new guys, I think at it's going to be good. We feel like the talent's there. Just got to put it all together.
In addition to Dalton, the Bengals return Pro Bowler receiver A.J. Green, tight end Jeremy Eifert, running backs Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard, along with a veteran offensive line. The Bengals may be out of a first-round draft pick. According to ESPN, cornerback William Jackson III may miss his rookie season after tearing a pectoral muscle yesterday. The Bengals selected Jackson 24th overall. He was present at practice today. No official word yet on how long he will be out. A source tells ESPN that the Bengals are still examining the injury. The Associated Press has released a list of the top 100 college football programs of all time. The rankings are based on total poll appearances, number of times ranked number one, and AP national championships. The poll started in 1936. Ohio State is ranked first, followed in order by Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Alabama, and South Carolina. Kentucky is ranked at 58. The University of Louisville is ranked at number 62. And West Virginia is at 35. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops knows that this is the year the Cats fans hope his program turns the corner and gets into a bowl game. With last year's promising 4-1 start fading to a 5-7 finish, Stoops understands their frustration but says the 2015 UK squad had little margin for error.
I would never use the word collapse. Somebody else did. We didn't. We lost some very close football games to some good teams that have been doing things right for a long time. There's a game or two, a game in particular, that we played better, that I felt like we played better or played definitely good enough to win, and we didn't. We can't do that. That can't be a habit for us. And that's my job, and that's our job as a staff, to not let that happen again.
Stoops says hard work and becoming more consistent are the keys for getting UK over the hump. And finally, this afternoon, after a 1-9 season last year, the Lewis County football program is hoping for more success in 2016. With nearly an entire new team, head coach Josh Hughes says he wants his players to forget about last year.
It was a hard last year as a staff to stay positive. You know, I'm usually kind of the over-positive guy, but you know, that was pretty rough last season. And when we had off-season coaches meetings, that was the thing that we pushed. We said, we're going to push everything from last season out and start over. You know, it's a fresh group of kids to a certain extent, and that we need to praise every success that we have in practice and find what those kids did well and build on that. And that's kind of what we've tried to incorporate.
Lewis kicks off the 2016 season on August 19th against Greenup County. For more Head State Public Radio Sports, I'm Sean Delaney.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State football season tickets are now available with six home games on the schedule, including Campbell, Marist, Jacksonville, and the Virginia Military Institute at 6 p.m. on Saturday, September 10th. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks were lower as U.S. oil settled below $40 a barrel for the first time since April, and as the Dow closed lower for the seventh straight day. And at the close, the Dow Industrials were down 90.74 at 18,313.77. The S&P 500 was down 13.81 at 2157.03. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 46.46 at 5137.73. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 3-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Overnight, Japan's Nikkei fell 1.5% as investors awaited for a hefty fiscal stimulus plan announced actually last week. And today, the figures were actually supplied for the stimulus plan. And the government's $132 billion plan, not enough to calm investors as the yen soared to a three-week high versus the dollar. In Europe, stocks fell with the pan-European Stock 600 index down more than 1% as concerns over the region's banks weighed and the stocks banks index fell more than 3%. On the economic data front, personal income rose 0.2% in June, just below expectations, while personal consumer spending for the same month advanced 0.4%, beating estimates. In earnings news, Procter & Gamble reported earnings and revenue above consensus estimates, and the stock was up almost 0.5%. U.S. crude oil was down 65 cents, finishing at $39.41 a barrel, the weakness primarily due to supply concerns. And gold futures for December delivery were up $13 an ounce at $1,372.60 an ounce. And among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were ExxonMobil and Chevron. Despite the drop in oil, both of those were your two best performers. And your two worst performers among the 30 Dow stocks were Pfizer and Apple. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Mallinckrodt and Biogen. And your worst performers in the S&P 500 were Kohl's and Delta Airlines. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down $1.67 at $113.62, CSX down 40 cents at $27.66, AEP down 32 cents at $68.99, Marathon Petroleum down a penny at $38.79, AEP down 32 cents at $68.99, and U.S. Bancorp down 24 cents to finish at $41.44. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyon.
Turning once again to look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with areas of valley fog and lows around 68 degrees. Tomorrow, we'll see that valley fog early in the morning, clearing up during the day to mostly sunny skies, a 30% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms with highs around 88. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, a 20% chance of rain with lows again in the upper 60s. On Thursday, it'll be partly sunny, a 30% chance of rain, with highs again in the upper 80s. That night, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows around 70. On Friday, at the end of the week, it'll be mostly sunny, a 30% chance of rain, highs up around 90. That night, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers, we'll see lows in the lower 70s. And on Saturday, at the start of the weekend, partly sunny, a 50% chance of rain, with highs in the mid-80s. It's currently sitting right there at 85 in Ashland right now. It's 85 in Flemingsburg, 82 in Inez, 86 in Lexington, 87 in Winchester, and 84 degrees in Moorhead.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Baraz, Samantha Morrill, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, Chaz Jenkins, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.